Good morning and praise Jesus. Shalom. We have continued to look at the scriptures to learn God's will from the Bible. We are right in the book of Romans, chapter number 9, and we want to study verses 1 up to 16. And we want to consider the fact that God chooses his leaders for his assignment, including political leaders. God chooses them based on his own criteria. Yes, we can participate to confirm God's will, but it's God who chooses leaders for his assignment. And God, he makes choices, he determines. The one that God chooses, either a spiritual leader or political leader or a social leader, must respond to God's call appropriately. And so, in this session, we want to see that God chooses these workers based on at least two things. One, on his purposes. Those that are called according to his purposes. But number two, he chooses them based on his mercy. We don't deserve. In fact, we deserve to be punished. But God, by not punishing us, he has added us choice. He has called us to himself that he may be able to send us. Paul is really looking at this and he cries because the children of Israel, that is the firstborn son, after they have come to the table of the Lord, after the prodigal son came back home and they are in that home, the son, the firstborn son, was suffering from equally a destructive element. Just like what we talked about, guilt for the secondborn son. The firstborn son was suffering from a problem called self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. And that's what we want to deal with in chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11. We are dealing with the next extreme. Self-righteousness is a state of feeling worth by your own strength. While guilt, you feel that you have not measured up to the standard of the authority of your father, and you will be punished because you have not measured up. The other extreme which we need to deal with is when you feel that you are very important. And in fact, you're angry with the authority that they have not rewarded you based on your worth. It's where we come to the authority with the worth based on ourselves. We feel that we are the people. We feel that we are better. We feel that we are entitled. We feel that we are supposed to have received it. And we are unhappy that we have not received it. And actually, we are unhappy when we see God give others what we thought was supposedly ours. You see, the firstborn son was at home serving his father, as he told him. Actually, he said slaving for him. And he was angry that the father did not give him even a goat to celebrate with his friend. But when this son of his, the prodigal, his brother, who had wasted the father's property, with loose living had come back, he was angry that the father had decided to receive him and to accept him and to make a party for him. That is a worse spirit, or is an equally destructive spirit that God deals with. And we want to deal with that self-righteous spirit. It makes us to forget the goodness of God. It makes us to take the blessings of God for granted. It makes us to look at the blessings of God based on what has not come. We look at the bottle of blessings from what we call half empty, instead of looking at the half full. Instead of looking at what God has done, we always focus on what he has not done. Instead of praising God for what he has accomplished for us, giving us life, giving us strength, giving us protection, we always complain that God has not fulfilled what he promised. Remember, God is faithful. He will promise what he will fulfill what he promised. He will keep his promise because he does that. And so this is the condition that the children of Israel found themselves, and Paul is dealing with this. And he's talking about the blessings of God and the blessing of the call, the one that we say God selected Israel. It's a blessing. God sovereignly chose Israel, the firstborn, for his assignment, not because of his any good, any bad thing or good he had done, but because of God's purposes and God's choices and God's grace alone. And it is good for us to understand that so that we don't suffer from this. So, chapter 9 and verses 1, Paul starts by saying, "With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirms it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief." Now, this state of the firstborn son, Paul was from Jews. He was among the Jews. But he discovered that his people had been blinded by self-worth, self-righteousness. And for that, he had what he calls bitter sorrow in his heart, and an adding grief. He was a sorrowful man of grief, just because of his own brothers and sisters, for not realizing that it is God's purposes. He says, for his people, he has an adding grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. And then he said, I would be willing to be forever cut off from Christ if that would save them. And then he enumerated 7 blessings that God had done for Israel that he has never done for any other people in the world. And they had not acknowledged this. They had not appreciated the blessings of God. They had not welcomed them and worshipped God as God because of them. They were complaining and angry with God. They were unhappy that God is accommodating the Gentile into the blessings. They had forgotten that the reason to why God chose them was to become a light to the nations, to the Gentiles, to his own brother, the next brother. But then they became entitled and kept the blessings for themselves. They were afraid they will be contaminated. Look at the blessings that God had given them. Number one, they are the people of Israel, the chosen to be God's adopted children. That's number one. God chose them. God sovereignly adopted them. He chose them to be adopted to his own children. They were adopted through Abraham, but they had forgotten that. Number two, God revealed his glory to them, not only selecting them or choosing them to become his children, and indeed they were God's children, And the Bible calls Israel the firstborn. That's why I've been talking about the firstborn and the secondborn. Because in Exodus, when Moses was speaking to, when God was speaking to Moses to go and deliver the Israelites, he said, go and bring me my firstborn. Israel is my firstborn. And so here he says, they were revealed, God revealed his glory to them. Number two, very good thing. And then God revealed his majesty, his character to them. Number three, God made covenants with them. Number three, meaning he made a promise. He made an oath to them that I'll be with you. An oath, God, when God made an oath, he does not break it. Even if you're unfaithful, he keeps it. So he made covenants, not one, many covenants with them. Number four, he gave them his law, his instruction. They know what was supposed to be done. Number five, he gave them the privilege of worshiping him. What a privilege. God is the one, God is a king. He allows, nobody is supposed to come to the king unless and until the king has stretched his staff and received them. So God had done them as a king. He had said, anytime, anywhere, you are welcome. You don't need anybody to stop you. Come and worship me. Come and be with me. And he was given this privilege of receiving his wonderful promises. Now, the other one, I think number six, is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are their ancestors. And Christ himself was an Israelite as far as the human nature is concerned. And he is God, the one who rules over everything, and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. These are the blessings that these people are given, but they had forgotten them. They had taken them for granted. Paul was saying, I am filled with an sorrow and adding anguish for my people. Then he says, has God failed? He said, God has not failed. Israel has failed. They have failed to take God as his word. But God is still faithful. And then this man of God reminds us how God chooses. And he began, and he gives us two examples which I want to mention here. He says, number one, not everybody who belonged to Abraham is Abraham's children. There are some of them who are Abraham's people. There are some of them are the people of God, others are the sons of God. He says Abraham had many descendants, had many children, but it was only one child of the promise. And so, though Abraham had two wives or three wives, maybe Keturah was one of them, and Hagar is another one who gave him children, and our mother is another one, Sarah. Is there, you know, the mother of faith. But it was only God chose the one son from Sarah, who is Isaac, who was given as a promise. Why did God choose Isaac? Had he done anything good? Not at all. So he wasn't supposed to brag over their list. The fact that God chose Isaac does not mean that he was better than that Midian and the children of Keturah and the rest, because it was God who chose Isaac based on his purposes and based on his grace and mercy. Not only that, God, he continued to say that thereafter Isaac had two children. Now this Isaac, whom he has chosen, he had two children. And actually they were twins. And the Bible says, before they had done anything good or bad, God communicated to their mother that the older would serve the younger. But what had they done? Nothing. And then this one shows that God chooses people not because of any bad thing they have done or the good they have done. But God chooses them because of his purpose. In fact, he says that the younger son will serve your younger, no, the older son will serve the younger one. In other words, of the scripture, I loved Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Does it mean that God is unfair? No, he's not unfair. Because he told Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose. I will show compassion to anyone I choose. So God decides to show mercy. And we cannot choose for mercy. We cannot pray for it. And we cannot work for it. Yes, we can pray for it. But it is God who chooses to show mercy, to show compassion. And for that reason, we better know that God chooses leaders based on his assignment, on his purpose, and on his mercy, not because of the bad they have done or the good they have done. May we note that, and may we be in God's stead. Father, we thank you. Help us to realize that you choose us based on your mercy and based on your purposes. And you had reminded us that those that you call according to your purpose, everything will work for their good. In Jesus' name.